Hello, brother. You know, a newborn child is a wonderful experience for any parent, but the firstborn child is an especially unique experience. Any father that has witnessed the birth of his first son or daughter will know what I'm talking about. From the time that I saw my son and held him in my arms, I was in a state of happiness that I had never experienced before in my life. I remember greeting my father shortly after my son was born, and I gave him a big hug and started crying. But it was strange because I was crying out of joy. I'd never done that before in my life. I was crying because I was happy. The experience of the birth of my firstborn child will be a memory I will carry to my grave. But what does it mean to be the firstborn? Are you the firstborn child of your family? I had the opportunity of being the firstborn and the caboose at the same time. My mother had two sons from a previous marriage, and I was the only son of her marriage to my father. I received the blessing of being the spoiled one and the responsibility of being a firstborn. As a child, I held a deep respect for my oldest brother. He was in the Marines, and I always looked up to him. And I always addressed him as sir, even though he was my brother. As the oldest child in the family, the firstborn seems to inherit more responsibility than the siblings. I remember my mother telling me how my oldest brother had to take care of me at times. I know that I am sometimes a little harder on my eldest child, but I expect him to do a little more, be a better example to his brother, and to take care of his mother when I'm away, or if anything should happen to me. And he does. He's the oldest child. Any of you that are firstborn can attest to the fact that your parents expected a little more out of you as the oldest child. But you also may have received many more privileges as well. Perhaps you were the first to graduate, the first to get a car, maybe the first to be allowed to date. Being the firstborn did not make you better or more loved, but there is no doubt it did make you special. Jesus Christ was the firstborn of both a physical family and the family of God. Turn, if you will, to Romans 8, and we'll read verses 28 through 29 in the New King James Version. Romans 8, 28 through 29. And we know that all things work together for good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus Christ is the eldest child of the family of God by virtue of becoming the firstborn through his resurrection. Now consider Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. The church is also God's first fruits, making it the firstborn as well. The day of Pentecost pictures the time that the Holy Spirit was given to the church, the time that we became begotten sons and daughters of the living God. We, the church, are to be firstborn in the kingdom of God following Christ. Turn to Hebrews 12:22-23. New King James Version still. Hebrews 12:22-23. Where we read, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the just men made perfect. Let's consider three qualities of the firstborn that are fulfilled by both Christ and his church. First, the firstborn receives a birthright. The Holman Bible Dictionary states in the article firstborn, the birthright of a firstborn included a double portion of the estate and leadership of the family. As firstborn from the resurrection, Jesus Christ has inherited all things as a birthright and assumes the leadership of the church. As the church of the firstborn, we have also special inheritance, the kingdom of God. We will be appointed kings and priests. We will teach and serve under the King of Kings. But we all must be watchful of our birthright. Satan constantly seeks to take it away from us. Remember the lesson of Esau. We can easily lose our inheritance. We need to make sure that we don't trade our birthright for things that are far, far less worth. Second, the firstborn is given more responsibility. Again, the Holman Dictionary in the article in the firstborn continues. As head of the house after his father's death, the eldest son customarily cared for his mother until her death, and he also provided for his sisters until their marriage. There's reason to believe that Joseph died early in Jesus' life, since he is not mentioned after Jesus was 12. So Christ had to look after Mary and her other children, as expected of the firstborn. Yet he also had the responsibility of taking care of his spiritual mother, brothers and sisters, the church, until his father comes to this earth. We, as begotten sons of God, have the responsibility to also look after our mother, the church. We have the responsibility of following God's law, holding fast to his truth. As a church of the firstborn, we will be expected to help rule, to take care of God's children during the millennium, until the Father comes. The firstborn must take responsibility. And third, the firstborn are special to God. During the time of ancient Israel, the firstborn of anything, man or animal, was used to in a special sacrifice to God, but it was only if they were unblemished. Turn to Deuteronomy 15, verses 19 through 21. Deuteronomy 15, 19 through 21. All the firstborn males that come from your herd and your flock, you shall sanctify to the Lord your God. You shall do no work with the firstborn of your herd, nor shear the firstborn of your flock. You and your household shall eat it before the Lord your God year by year in the place which the Lord chooses. But if there is a defect in it, if it is lame or blind or has any serious defect, you shall not sacrifice it to the Lord your God. Jesus Christ was a firstborn sacrifice that had no blemish. Likewise, we who have been begotten by God are expected to be a sacrifice. And that's shown in Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Jesus Christ was and is special to the Father. So he was expected to sacrifice himself, and he did so. The church, as the first begotten and soon to be firstborn, is also special to the Father. Since we're special to God, we are expected to sacrifice as well. As firstborn, we will sacrifice more than our siblings that will enter the kingdom of God after us. We may need to sacrifice our time. We may need to sacrifice our money. We may even need to sacrifice our life. But that's what is expected of the firstborn. That's what they do. So brethren, as this day pictures, we have been impregnated with God's Spirit. We are the first begotten of the Father. We will be the church of the firstborn in the kingdom of God. As such, we will receive a special birthright from our Father. But with that birthright comes responsibility now and later. We, as the firstborn, are special to God. We belong to God. So we are expected to sacrifice ourselves accordingly. And finally, I leave you with this thought. If you as a human parent have witnessed the ecstasy of seeing your firstborn child enter this world, can you imagine the emotion that will fill our Heavenly Father when He witnesses the birth of His firstborn children in His kingdom? Just think about it.